If I had my choice, Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39 would probably not be the reading that I would have chosen for us to launch summer, have a picnic, gather together for games and hot dogs and fun and fellowship. Luke chapter 6. Chapter 8, verses 26 to 39 tells a dark and threatening and foreboding story. It is a story of forces that are beyond human control. It's a story that portrays a world that most of us are not all that keen to live in most of the time. It's a world in which there are forces that at times cause terrible pain, desperate destruction, and even death. It's the world that is portrayed in this strange scene of demons leaving a man and entering into a herd of swines and causing them to rush over the cliff and be drowned in the sea. But it's a world that we know is true. It's a world that we know is real. It's a world that we have been tragically reminded of this past week, a world in which a young boy goes out into the woods with his year-end school trip, and a wind comes up and a tree falls on this innocent child and he's killed almost instantly. It's a world where we know there are forces at work in life that we can't control, and sometimes there are moments when those forces conspire to create pain and suffering and anguish. And we can try all we want to do as it appears the people of the surrounding area did with this man. We can try to banish these forces. They send him out to live among the tombs, a place where people wouldn't frequent, a place where he would be isolated, where he'd be cut off from the rest of the world. Or we can try desperately to control these forces, to somehow get them under our power. And so this man, Luke tells us, was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But when we're honest, we know that there are times when these forces will break the bonds and cause us to be in a wilderness place, a place of difficulty, of pain, and of suffering. We are not in control of all the forces of life. We do not always get to cause life to turn out exactly as we might choose, as we might want to. And the fact is, there are times when unexpectedly and from absolutely nowhere that we could predict, something breaks into our lives and we feel ourselves at that moment utterly shattered and just crushed. And we wonder, maybe looking at the life of someone else or looking at a situation in our own lives, we wonder, how is it possible that we're going to get through this? How is it possible that they are going to navigate this tragedy in their lives? How is it possible that a young family, a small boy who dies, is just going to somehow pick up and carry on with their lives? What do they have to do to navigate this painful reality? And it's easy and it's tempting to become just overwhelmed with the fear of the realities of life. Overwhelmed with fear in the face of such unpredictable and uncontrollable forces. And there's lots of fear to go around in this story. But there's one person in the story who is not afraid. There's one person who does not tremble in the face of these unpredictable and threatening forces. Jesus faces this man whose name is Legion because he is possessed by this multitude of dark and threatening and destructive and violent forces. Jesus stands before him utterly unshaken. He stands there strong and solid and grounded and rooted in something that Jesus knows is stronger and more real and more lasting and more true and more abiding than anything that might ever be threatening to our sense of well-being and our sense of safety and our sense of security. And Jesus looks at this man and says to him, "What is your name? Who are you? Who are you, this great force of fear and threat?" See, Jesus is willing to see him as he is. Jesus is willing to know this dark force. Jesus is willing to enter directly into everything that we spend so much of our lives trying to avoid, trying not to see, trying to shun, trying to control, trying to keep away. Jesus walks right into the center of it. And that's the story of Jesus' life. In Mark's gospel, as Jesus is approaching the terrible day of his betrayal, as he's approaching the terrible day of denial, of suffering, of judgment, and of execution, the gospel writer tells us, "And Jesus turned his face towards Jerusalem." See, for Jesus at this moment, Jerusalem is only one thing. It's the place of suffering. It's the place of pain. It's the place of injustice. It's the place of death. It's the place where he acknowledges that all of these forces are conspiring against him and seeking only his destruction. And he turns towards that and he walks into the middle of it. And he's able to do that because he knows in himself that there is a greater force of life, that there is a reality that transcends all of the brokenness and the pain and the suffering that we might ever face. And when we turn to the suffering and refuse the temptation to ignore it and deny it, that's what awakens in our hearts. And then we come within ourselves to the place where this man came. When the crowds, after he had encountered Jesus, found this man, Luke tells us they came to him, the man from whom the demons had gone, and they found him sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed and in his right mind. That's where we want to be. We want to be in our right mind. And our right mind knows. Our right mind knows that the forces of darkness don't win the day. It's kind of why we need to come here. We need to come here so that we can be somewhere as falteringly as we do, that we can be somewhere that says, you know, in the end, there's a greater reality. Love does win. The darkness is not stronger. The light abides. And that as difficult and painful as it may at times be to see, we gather to support that awareness in one another. We come together to say that there is within us and at the heart of life a greater reality that transcends all of that brokenness and all of that pain and all of that suffering, and we can trust that. We can know that deep in our hearts, despite all evidence on the surface that may appear to indicate the contrary. But you know, the most disturbing and difficult and painful thing in this story, the most difficult, okay, Brittany took a tumble. The most difficult and painful thing in this story is not the demon-possessed man, is not the crowds who try to lock him away and control him with chains and shackles. The most difficult and the most painful thing in this story is the people who, finding this man clothed and in his right mind, and knowing that the source of his healing is Jesus, respond by trying to send Jesus away. They want to banish that force of love and light and goodness and truth and beauty that is embodied in Jesus. And sometimes it seems to me that we are like those people. We don't want truth. And we don't want goodness. And we don't want beauty. And we don't want light. And we don't want love. Because those are the forces most of all that we cannot control, that are vastly beyond our power to keep under control. And when Jesus walks in to life, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to look like, because Jesus embodies the freedom of God's Spirit, and that freedom wants to transform us, wants to turn us into that light and purity and beauty and truth that are our true nature. Jesus is the power that wants us to allow our hearts to break open, that wants to allow all of those difficult and painful circumstances that we've ever encountered to come into our lives and cause our hearts to shatter. Because it's shattered hearts that shine the light. It's shattered hearts that are open to the possibility of the work of God's Spirit in all of life. It's shattered hearts that shine light. And so Jesus says to this man who's has had such a shattered heart for so long and who now is healed, he says to him, return to your home. Go back to where they know you and tell them what you found. Tell them what you've experienced. Share with them the love and the light that you've encountered. Because that's the hardest place to do it. You know, those people you're familiar with, those people you're closest to, that's where it's hardest often to be the light and the truth and the beauty that is Jesus. But that's the place where it counts. That's the place where we need to bring those broken hearts that we all carry, those wounded beings that we all are. And we need to come together and find in one another that light and truth and beauty that are, in fact, the presence of God, so that we can support in one another the faith that the death of a child on Wednesday is not the only reality, and that, in fact, people do survive. People do get through the most excruciating and the most anguishing experiences of life. People do walk through deep, deep, dark valleys, and they walk through, and they come out the other side, and they come out deepened and strengthened and made more whole because they've allowed those experiences to break their hearts open to the deep reality of love, truth, and light that is God's presence in their lives. So, we're going to do something this morning that we don't very often do at this service. We do it at both other services, And you're going to need a book. Sorry, you need a book for this. So I'd like you to pick up your green Book of Alternative Services. And in your green Book of Alternative Services, I'd like you to turn to page 189. Page 189, where you will find one of the oldest formulations of Christian faith called the Apostles' Creed, probably from the late 4th century. We don't often say this at this service, not because we don't believe it, but simply because we really do believe it and don't perhaps feel the need to reaffirm it every Sunday. But sometimes you do, you know? Sometimes in the face of darkness and doubt and dread and uncertainty and pain and suffering, we do need to stand up and say, you know what? We believe that there's more to life than this. And this is one of the places where we do that. So we're gonna say this together, and then I'll ring my bell and we'll be quiet for a moment, and then I'll ring the bell again, and then David is going to pray. So as you're able, I'd ask you if you would please stand with me together. The bottom of page 189, I invite you to join with me in this affirmation of faith, personal faith, deep in your hearts, saying together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. To kneel or sit, let us pray.